And now on BBC World Service, it's time for Right On with Nick Baker.
One subject and one subject only has dominated the Right On mailbag this week. The announcement that from July the 1st this year, BBC World Service will cease its shortwave broadcasting to North America, Australia and New Zealand. Instead, World Service will be focusing its delivery on FM and digital services. Now, many Right On listeners first read this news in an article in On Air magazine by Mark Byford, who's director of BBC World Service, and he's kindly agreed to answer the points you've already raised in your emails to Right On. So, Mark, first of all, thank you very much for coming in.
It's great to be here, and it's FM rebroadcasting and also the internet, of course, Nick.
All right, let's go straight to Brendan Vahl in Washington State.
I have enjoyed the news and features through 20 years with nary a complaint. And yes, I'm even beginning to understand cricket after all this time. I and other North American shortwave listeners don't wish to be cut off from one of our favourite media sources just because we live in the first world.
And then Ken Carstens, Methodist minister, adds,
"The civilising influence of the news, information, wisdom and wit that flow from the Beeb ought not to be underestimated. Not to mention the very existence, let alone the validity, of other non-American points of view. The vast majority here have internalized the all-pervasive propaganda that tells them that, for all its faults, the USA is by far the very best place in which any decent person could ever want to live, and anyone who suggests otherwise must be either a communist or barking mad."
Well, Mark, Brendan Vahl says, well, you're discriminating against us because we're the first world. It's as if you're saying to us, well, we're super served by the media anyway, and BBC World Service needs to concentrate its efforts elsewhere. Is that true?
It isn't true. What we are doing, though, is looking at listening patterns across the world, how people receive us, and the markets that listeners are in, and making choices. I mean, we've taken this decision with a lot of care and a lot of consideration. What we are doing in North America is focusing on FM rebroadcasting to our public radio partnerships and also the internet. It's not a case of being out of shortwave all across the world, of course. I mean, we're investing multi-millions in shortwave in the Middle East, in the Gulf, in South Asia, in areas where the primary way of listening to us is through shortwave. But in North America, the statistics will show us that listening is through FM rebroadcasting partnerships. And the internet as well is now a major access point for people to listen to the World Service.
But we're being asked, not only by Brendan Vahl, but by others, is this to move resources across the world to where the perception is that shortwave is more needed?
Well, we are, by making this decision, able to release money that we can then invest in FM presence across the world and our internet capability. But what we're looking at listening patterns. In North America, more than three times of our listenership is listening on FM through rebroadcasting partnerships.
Let me move on to Bob Hart, who also raises FM rebroadcasting.
I'm not able to receive any FM stations that offer other than piecemeal daytime coverage of BBC programmes. There is a station, WBUR here in Boston, that has six or so hours of BBC after local midnight. This may be fine for insomniacs and night workers, but not too appealing for the rest of us. As far as I can tell, this station does not have some of my favourite programmes on science, technology, medicine and the environment. I do not have a computer at home. I could spend $1,000 on one, then $200 to $300 a year for internet service just to replace my portable shortwave receiver, which gives me free service just about anywhere. My hope is that I will be able to ferret out your signals destined for other regions. I feel sorry I am no longer considered part of the world in World Service. Yours truly, Bob Hart.
And Ralph Brandy adds,
"The full World Service gives a much more nuanced depiction of the world than does an occasional broadcast dropped into a local schedule without the surrounding context. They've made a decision to refocus their efforts in North America as a news service."
Now, a headcount of rebroadcasters shows that about 70% of them rebroadcasting World Service programmes in FM are concentrating on news, and typically they're broadcasting the mixed schedule of features and plays and so on at night. So we are looking at a picture where some people are going to be deprived of their favourite programmes.
Well, they may be deprived of their favourite programmes on shortwave, but the general programmes of the World Service are available on the internet too. It is true that the FM rebroadcasters, and were present across more than 200 cities, do provide news programmes. They provide some general programmes as well, but news programmes in the main. And that's what our World Service listeners come to, news as well as general programmes. And obviously we're very appreciative that so many people, more than 2 million, are listening to us on FM through public radio and to our news programmes.
But Ralph Brandy asks, has the World Service made a decision to major on news in North America?
No. What we've done is still made available our mixed schedule across 24 hours of the day, but what we've focused on is the delivery of it. It's not that we're saying we only want you to listen to news programs. What we've said is, which is the best way of North American listeners being able to access the World Service? Through FM on public radio for news programs, and the internet and C-SPAN satellite, XM radio and Sirius coming digital satellite radio as well.
I get lots of listeners saying, my friend, the little shortwave radio can be taken anywhere, can be tuned in and can access without needing a computer, without needing to pay a digital radio subscription anywhere. Whereas I have to tie up my phone line, I have to buy a computer and so on and so forth. There is something very accessible, universal about a little shortwave radio, isn't there?
There is, and you're right that the shortwave radios are mobile as well, but so is the net, and it will increasingly be the case. And what we're wanting to do with our listeners is not lose any of them. We want them to be able to listen to the World Service in high quality sound, whether on FM or through the net.
But you do concede, don't you, that the World Service is going to lose some of its listeners? I mean, figures do vary. We know that 2.3 million people in North America listen to rebroadcasts, and we know that 1.2 million listen via shortwave. What we don't know is how many of those people listen to both. How many people...
Well, we do. We know that just under 300,000 only listen on shortwave. So we do know that the vast majority of our listenership is through public radio partnerships on FM. We do know that some people obviously listen on FM and to shortwave, but the unique shortwave audience is low. We also know that of the whole traffic to the World Service internet site across the world, 60% of it comes from North America.
There are other things that you can do. I know that you're a great fan of people who want to know how they can get the programming, nagging their community radio stations, you know, phoning up their public radio stations and saying, look, I want more World Service coverage. Should they do that?
Well, I don't want to use the interview so that we're a pain and people nag, but of course, rebroadcasting partnerships are shaped by people recognising what listeners want. If you want more of the World Service to be on public radio, then we obviously would welcome you supporting that quest.
The two digital channels that are being promoted, one of which will carry a mainly news service, and XM, which will carry the whole schedule, the mixed schedule of plays and features and so on and so forth, both of them will require subscription payments, won't they?
I'm not sure about that. I know that they'll be available in cars.
That's the other thing, that the principal market for digital radio in the United States will be for cars, and I'm still...
Well, I'm saying to you that it's a new way of listening as well. If our decision was wholly based on those two propositions, then I think one could say, hang on. But it isn't. We're saying that there are a number of ways in a mature marketplace of still being able to access the World Service. Our target audience can access us through public radio, of which the vast majority do so today. We hope, as you suggest, Nick, even more will do so. But also the internet in North America enables you to listen to the World Service 24 hours a day, not just live, but on demand too. You can call up the programs when you want to listen, and it's in high quality sound.
Including Right On, I might have to add. But you don't shrink from the truth that the World Service will lose as many as a third of a million listeners, perhaps more.
Shrink, I don't think, is the word. We would hope that as many people as possible who have listened only on shortwave will transfer to listening in new ways. Let's remember that the World Service today has a world record audience of 153 million listeners because it has adapted its delivery strategy to recognise that in different markets there are different ways of listening to the World Service. We're investing multi-millions in shortwave in some areas of the world, and in other areas we're recognising that even today the net is a primary way of being able to listen to us.
Okay, finally let's hear from the intrepid J. Christopher Brown.
I especially liked being able to keep in touch with the world during my scientific field trips deep in the Mexican jungle. No electricity, no phone, no newspapers, and no mail. But if you could wind up the Beijing radio, good old reliable BBC World Service was always there. Alas, no more.
People living in, as it were, the fringes of North America, and J. Christopher Brown is going into Mexico, might they just get a bit of spill from the Caribbean or elsewhere?
It is true that in Latin America, South America, you will be able to hear the World Service in English as well as in Spanish on shortwave. This is about North America itself.
Mark, thank you very, very much for coming in. We should stress the digital alternatives. There's also CBC in Canada, there's C-SPAN television, there's the internet, and there's public radio on FM. More details of all that will be on the website. But finally, and lest North America get too much attention, here's Ibrahim Abubakar in Nigeria.
I just want to know why the producers of Meridian on Screen give scanty coverage of Indian films and the Indian film industry.
Now, we've heard this before about the World Service film programme, so step forward on-screen producer Nick Rankin.
Well, it's very interesting to get Ibrahim's email in the very week in which we did a report on the Bollywood Awards held in New York, and a little account of a man who's writing a book about criminality in India, talking about certain production practices in India. Our brief on-screen is to really cover world cinema, and we do cover quite a lot. Maybe not enough Bollywood for Ibrahim, but I can assure him also in this week we're doing a film from India, Santosh Sivan's The Terrorist, which is in Tamil, about a serious subject. I agree it's not a Bollywood musical, but believe me, we know that Bollywood is the largest film industry in the world, and we keep an eye on it. We have a broad brief and we cover the films that are shown all around the world. If you look in Variety at all the major capitals of the world and the films that are shown, it doesn't matter what country you're in, by and large there are Hollywood films there. It's true in Africa, there is a huge market also for Bollywood films, films from India that have music and dancing and drama and all kinds of things that offer an alternative kind of entertainment. We do not just cover Hollywood films. We try to cover world cinema, but we try to get a balance between what is popular and the new films that are coming out that everybody will see, as well as local and national cinema.
Nick Rankin, and that's it for this week. If you've got questions about receiving world service in North America or Australia or New Zealand, you can ring a special number. It's 44 for Britain, then outside Britain, 8700 100 670. That's 8700 100 670. And as ever, you can consult the website. I'm back to talk about a new way to listen for people in Asia and Africa next week. It's called World Space, but until then, keep writing in to Write On.
Thanks, Nick. That was Nick Baker presenting Write On, which is a Testbed production. And you can write to Write On at BBC World Service, Bush House, London. For email users, the address is writeon, that's one word, W-R-I-T-E-O-N, at bbc.co.uk. Or if you're planning on using a fax machine, the number after your international code is 44 for Britain, then 20-7436-2800. This is London.